This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, November 28th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a story from the University of Illinois at Springfield, which is getting criticism for how it handles students with disabilities. Also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. The Illinois General Assembly returns to the Capitol today in an attempt to resolve a mass transit funding problem in the Chicago area. But as Sean Crawford reports, downstate lawmakers are upset with the latest plan.
The legislature is considering a package that would redirect gasoline sales tax money the state collects to pay for Chicago-area buses and trains, but it might not be able to get the needed support. Rushville Democratic Senator John Sullivan calls it unacceptable.
I'm just looking at it from a downstate perspective. I would think it'd be very difficult for a downstater to vote for that particular proposal.
Sullivan says the measure would take hundreds of millions of dollars that could be spent on needs across Illinois and instead funnel it to the Chicago region. Sullivan and most downstate lawmakers are demanding a statewide construction program for roads, bridges, and schools before they'll go along with any mass transit bailout. Regional Transportation Authority officials say they need money by mid-January, or they're threatening to cut routes and raise fares. I'm Sean Crawford.
Approval of a 2009 budget for the city of Champaign is still a half year away. But as the city council prepares to start work on that new budget, the city's finance director is warning of leaner times ahead. AM 580's Jim Meadows has that story.
Finance Director Richard Schnoor says Champaign's number one revenue source, the sales tax, is not producing as much revenue this year as expected. Sales tax revenue is up 2 to 2.5%, but that's not as much as the inflation rate or the rise in city expenses. City staffers won't formally release their five-year financial forecast for another 2 weeks, but Schnoor told city council members during a budget policy discussion last night that he expects city revenues to fall short of projections this year, while some expenditures, such as employee health insurance, will go over budget.
I don't mean to imply that the sky is falling in. We're going to have a balanced budget this year, but we are going to have a challenge maintaining our current services within the general fund without some changes.
Schnoor says the recommendation from Champaign City staff is to hold the line on departmental budgets as preliminary work on the 2009 spending plan continues over the winter. Depending on the final numbers, he says it may be necessary to make some spending cuts and even shave a little off of the safety margin between the budget and the tax levy. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Prosecutors will be able to use testimony from an additional two students who claim they were molested by a former school teacher. In this case, though, the students are from Normal in McLean County, where John White faces criminal sexual assault charges. A Champaign County judge says jurors will be able to hear from those students in this county, where White is charged in 9 other assaults inside his second-grade classroom at Urbana's Thomas Paine School. Judge Harry Clem had recently ruled that live and taped testimony from alleged victims in Urbana is admissible. It's not clear if that trial will take place in Urbana. Judge Clem may rule Thursday on a request from White's attorneys to move the trial because of excessive publicity. Building service and food service workers at the University of Illinois could ratify a tentative contract agreement as soon as next week. Marla Heath, a union steward with Service Employees International Union Local 73, says while she knows its members deserve more, the agreement is comparable to what other unions on the Urbana campus are receiving. No details of the plan have been released yet. Heath says she hopes the state's economic picture will improve and that the union can move on to lobby state lawmakers on the issue of staff shortages. She says the current number of building service workers falls well below the minimum staff requirement, resulting in unsanitary conditions around campus.
We don't understand how they are getting away with having 60 less janitors. And that may not sound like a large group of people, but it would make all the difference in the world if we were fully staffed. And we still have a lot of workers who are getting injured on the job because they are trying to do more work than it's humanly possible.
It's been more than a year since SEIU employees had a contract. The union's 700 members are expected to review their tentative contract this weekend, with a ratification vote coming soon after. Heath says she's optimistic that contract will be approved. The city of Urbana picked the brains of Philo Road residents last night for ideas to beautify their area. The city hopes to attract more business to the Philo Road corridor between Florida Avenue and Windsor Road. New retail stores like Meijer are currently under construction there. Several neighbors at the workshop say they'd like to see the whole stretch of Philo Road widened to four lanes. Urbana's Public Works Director Bill Gray says the road's in good shape and new improvements were completed last year, but he says new traffic lights will be installed to handle future Meijer traffic.
I think what we're looking at is something to attract and create some excitement and maybe a sense of place that will continue to spur on some of the redevelopment that we're seeing now and new development that's occurring.
Gray says all the ideas from last night's workshop will go into a preliminary plan that a consultant will present to the Urbana City Council in 2 weeks. He says by then the city will also know the cost of the beautification. A volunteer effort to rebuild a park and playground in downstate McLeansboro was awarded the Governor's Cup yesterday at the Governor's Hometown Awards Ceremony in Springfield. Meanwhile, finalists for the Cup included a youth program in Hoopston that was launched with help from WILL. The PBS documentary Country Boys, about the problems facing rural young people, was used as a jumping-off point for discussions with young people in Hoopston. A series of town hall meetings organized by WILL, Prairie Center Health Systems, and Hoopston officials gave young people a chance to voice their concerns. Programs growing out of that initiative include a mayor's youth council, a local youth center, and a mentoring program. Hoopston's economic development director, Shannon Rue, says the youth town hall project has been healthy for her community.
When you involve the youth in the community and community projects and community decision making, they then have a stake in the community and a vested interest, and they're more likely to return to the community or stay in the community after they finish high school.
The Illinois Radio Reader was also named as a Governor's Cup finalist. The mostly volunteer service broadcasts local newspapers and other material for the vision impaired on a subcarrier frequency of WILL-FM. More than 375 people in East Central Illinois listen to that service on special radios built to pick up the subcarrier signal. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The University of Illinois at Springfield has made a lot of progress in recent years. It's expanded academic offerings, opened a new recreation center, and has built new student residence halls. But while the campus has been moving forward, one group of students feels they've been left behind. Illinois Public Radio's Kavitha Cardoza prepared this report.
19-year-old Caitlin Murray is a sophomore at UIS. She's paralyzed from the chest down and has limited use of her hands. Murray's in an electric wheelchair, the result of a diving accident 4 years ago. Murray said she found the campus ill-equipped to handle her needs. She says the university denied her requests for such things as a transfer to a more accessible townhouse and for a curtain in her dormitory hallway so people wouldn't see her half-clothed as she made her way to the shower. Other accommodations, such as an automatic door opener in her dormitory, took months to complete. Murray's medically necessary equipment didn't fit into her room, but housing administrators told her it couldn't be put in a common area either because it was too much of a liability.
Because of decreased mobility and stuff, then I ended up getting a blood clot in December, so it was like 3 or 4 months after I had been here. If it had broken up, it would have gone straight to my lungs or heart, and it would have been death.
Murray's not the only person to raise questions about accessibility at UIS. 2 years ago, young people with disabilities from across the state stayed on campus for a few days. It was organized by Gerard Broker, the executive director of the Statewide Independent Living Council, an advocacy group for the disabled. Broker wrote to the university after the event, saying students attending the conference encountered problems such as a lack of grab bars in handicapped bathrooms, difficult access to doors, and a lack of visual fire alarms for the deaf. Broker says access issues came up again this last summer, and he visited the campus residence hall again last month.
It was much to my dismay that I found out that the building is still not fully compliant with federal and state law.
Broker contacted the U.S. Attorney's Office, which then met with a couple of students. Broker says he's confident an investigation of access issues at the university will happen. The U.S. Attorney's Office would not confirm or deny that. UIS Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs Chris Miller says the buildings are far beyond compliance or what the law requires. He says it's incredibly important students with disabilities feel comfortable.
Not because we are required to by federal law, and not because it's morally or ethically, but we believe absolutely it's a part of our mission and it's the right thing to do as an institution.
Miller says less than a handful of students have come forward with concerns, making it difficult to address their needs. The new $16 million recreation center on campus is another sticking point. While the administration says there are several pieces of universally accessible equipment, some students with disabilities disagree. They say there are some parts of the gym they can't even enter. Student Larry Porter, who's in a wheelchair, says he's very into sports, even traveling every week to St. Louis to play wheelchair rugby. He says he's unable to use the exercise equipment at UIS, adding he can't maneuver his chair in there. Porter says he protested paying the student fees for the rec center, but was told he had no choice.
They said that there wasn't enough people in wheelchairs who showed an interest in using the facilities. And my response to that was, well, why should they come work out if they can't use anything?
Students with disabilities at UIS say their complaints go beyond housing and services and into the classroom. Those with special academic needs must apply for a letter of accommodation. It lets faculty members know a student's disability is legitimate. For example, someone with limited use of their hands may need an aid in the chemistry lab. Legally, these letters have to be completed in a reasonable amount of time. There were so many students and faculty complaining the letters were late this semester, a campus committee set out to understand what was going on. One member characterized it as a meltdown in services, and the group presented their report to the campus senate and the administration. Professor Pat Langley is chair of the campus senate. She says some of these accommodations take a lot of time to arrange, and it's critically important they're sent to faculty no later than the second week of classes. But she says some were anywhere between 3 to 5 weeks late, and one was 2 months late.
If the faculty member doesn't know that, they can't make the accommodations. And if that happens late in the semester, that student is at academic risk, if not actually, you know, suffering.
Professor Langley says having the UIS administration say that no problem existed or that the problem was with the students was not credible nor helpful. The person in charge of the Office of Disability Services for the past decade was removed from the post just 2 days before classes began in August. On her attorney's advice, she declined to be interviewed for the story. Rebecca Romberger is one of the students whose letters came 3 weeks late. She says she suffers from anxiety, but her professor didn't know what accommodation she needed. In this case, a quiet room for testing. She says this put her at a disadvantage.
There's huge lack of support and huge discrimination, and especially if you have like a mental diagnosis like mine, you are treated as a freak case and subhuman. I mean, your words don't count.
For 2 months now, Susie Woods has been the temporary director of disability services. She says students who complain often haven't registered in time or at all, and only do so when they realize their grades are falling, and that's the reason the letters may have been late. Woods says the goal is to make these students functionally independent.
The key word in the ADA is reasonable accommodations. If I can get to town in a Buick, you know, the university or my workplace doesn't have the responsibility to buy me a Cadillac.
The issue is getting attention off campus as well. Mary Reckner is an accountant in Springfield. She won the university's Distinguished Alumni Service Award. She says students with disabilities are close to her heart because her late brother was mentally and physically disabled. So she's donated money to buy specialized academic equipment. Reckner is also co-chair of UIS's Special Needs Committee and says she got many phone calls about the issue. Reckner says one student who's blind was told no one had the time to use the specialized scanner that would convert text to audio. Without the scanner, she says, the students' grades were affected.
I was a little upset myself, seeing as I donated the scanner, you know, that should have converted her textbook. It's a lot of students. It's parents that are very upset because they're concerned about what's happening to their child. I have talked to several donors who are saying, we know you're a donor, what are you doing? I've had actually a couple people from the community who are not connected with UIS have come to me and said, what is going on at that university with special needs?
Rekna wants to create an endowment in her brother's memory at UIS, but first she wants this issue resolved. She says after several weeks of getting phone calls, she tried contacting the chancellor herself.
My question was, what do you want me to say to these people? I don't even know how to respond anymore. And the response that I got never addressed that issue. It was just, you know, we still want to continue to make this the best institution. And yes, we all want that, but you didn't answer my question. So I don't know. I'm still out there not sure what to say to these people that are still calling, and they're still calling.
The administration insists only two or three students are having difficulties, and Chancellor Richard Ringeisen says his staff is doing everything they can to help them. He says the campus is going through growing pains as UIS becomes more of a residential campus. The chancellor says they haven't had as many students with disabilities living on campus before.
Now we do, and we're working, doing our level best to work with those groups. But our determination, when we say we're going to be the best, we're going to be the best at all these things. But it's not reasonable to assume that we're going to be perfect at them before we encounter them.
But Caitlin Murray, the sophomore in a wheelchair, wishes her experience at UIS could have been different. Murray says she was making A's and B's when she got to UIS and now says she's barely keeping up academically. Murray, who volunteers at a local hospital helping newly injured spinal cord injury patients, says she's often asked by friends with disabilities whether they should apply to UIS.
At this point, my only response to them can be is that, you know, UIS isn't ready for them. They might be ready for college, but UIS isn't ready for them.
I'm Kavitha Cardoza.
Our meteorologist Ed Kieser says it'll be rather warm today for this time of year in central Illinois. Intervals of clouds and sun in Champaign-Urbana and windy with a high of 53, but winds from the south at 15 to 25 miles an hour. Some gusts could go over 30 miles an hour. Cloudy in northern and west central Illinois today with some rain showers in the afternoon. Cloudy in northern Indiana, but elsewhere a mix of clouds and sun. And highs from 42 in far northwest Illinois to near 60 in the far south. For tonight, cloudy with flurries early, then clearing in northwestern Illinois. In northeastern and central Illinois and in northwestern Indiana, clouds with showers of light rain changing to snow during the evening, then clearing. Elsewhere, cloudy with scattered rain showers changing to snow showers overnight. Lows from 15 in far northwest Illinois to 33 in the south. Champaign-Urbana's low 25. For tomorrow, in north central and northeast Indiana, cloudy with scattered snow showers, but elsewhere, mostly sunny, and highs from 33 in the far north to 47 in far southern Illinois, 40 degrees in Champaign-Urbana, and still breezy tomorrow as well. Partly to mostly sunny on Friday, the high 41. Saturday, cloudy with some showers in the afternoon, and a high of 37. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, November 28th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.